Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, the 15th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. The Isle of Man fell silent today as the 80th anniversary of VJ Day was marked. Meanwhile, preparations are stepping up a notch as the Manx Grand Prix gets underway this weekend, and FC Isle of Man are hoping to bounce back after a 4-0 thrashing which put them bottom of the table. All those stories and more coming up. Drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email to studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Lewis Foster. Faster Mime.
Faster Mime. The Isle of Man has marked the 80th anniversary of VJ Day and the end of the Second World War. A wreath-laying ceremony was held at the National War Memorial in St John's and a 2-minute silence observed at midday. The clerk of the course for the Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT says the new expanded schedule this year will offer more flexibility for race organisers and officials. Gary Thompson will once again take charge of proceedings on the Snaefell Mountain course from the 17th to the 29th of August and is hopeful for good weather following what he calls hellish conditions in 2024. The longer schedule is also being welcomed by businesses on the island. But John Kinley, who owns Ocean Views Bar and Restaurant in Onchan, says it won't be an immediate fix.
I think this year, hopefully people will come over, but I have a funny feeling that it might just be a bit quieter. I think next year and the year after, it will go back to where it needs to be.
A major housing scheme in Union Mills has been approved on appeal, overturning a previous refusal. Dandara has secured approval in principle to develop land off Main Road, Trollope Lane and Strang Road. And vehicles can once again drive over Ramsey Swing Bridge. The historic landmark has been closed to motorists since works got underway to repair a hole in the carriageway back in January. The latest international news, Volodymyr Zelensky says his country is counting on America as Donald Trump travels to Alaska for high-stakes talks with his Russian counterpart aimed at ending the war in Ukraine. The US president claims he won't do business with Vladimir Putin until the war is settled. The UK's largest bioethanol plant is expected to close with the loss of 160 jobs. It's after the UK government confirmed it wouldn't bail out the facility near Hull. And Iceland is offering a £1 reward to customers who identify thieves in store. The retailer says it loses £20 million to shoplifters every year. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with the news at 6.
Gurmaya, thank you very much for that, Lewis. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry with warm, sunny spells, light to moderate south-northwest winds and a top temperature of 22 degrees Celsius. Little change overnight. Some cloud around again in some places tomorrow morning, then clearing to leave plenty of sunshine, light easterly winds and top temperatures rising to 23 degrees Celsius in the afternoon.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys, your fast, reliable locksmiths 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes, Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
At Bagode Cashery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cashery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bagode Cashery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cashery on Facebook.
SMS Trading, new and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past 5 on Manx Radio's Update. Welcome to the programme. The nation fell silent today to mark the 80th anniversary of VJ Day, the day in 1945 when Japan surrendered to Allied forces, marking the end of the Second World War. This morning, a commemorative service took place in the nation's capital. The short ceremony in Hillary Park was led by the mayor's chaplain, Reverend Dr. Michael Bryden, and featured music from the Douglas Town Band. Addressing those gathered, Douglas Mayor Stephen Crellin says it's important that we continue to remember the courage and resilience of an entire generation.
Ladies and gentlemen, what am I, and a very good morning to you all. It is both an honour and a humbling privilege to stand before you today as we gather to mark a moment of profound significance, the 80th anniversary of the Victory in Japan Day, the day that the Japanese Imperial Forces surrendered. A day when hostilities ended after dropping the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, bringing an end to a brutal conflict and ushering in a long-awaited peace. A day when many happy reunions of those who have been long separated from each other can rejoice that the war in the Far East has finally come to an end, following 6 long years hardship, destruction, and unimaginable loss. For many, the joy of that moment was tempered by grief. Almost 30,000 troops died, part of a larger total of more than 90,000 casualties in the war against Japan. For others, it was a bittersweet hope for the future. But above all, it was testament to the courage and resilience of an entire generation.
Douglas Mayor Stephen Crellin speaking there at giving an address to the commemorative service marking the 80th anniversary of VJ Day. Let's turn our attention to the Manx Grand Prix. We've been hearing this week about the relief of motorsport fans over this year's extended schedule, which gets underway on Sunday. It's moving back to a 12-day programme from the 9-day format used in recent years. But how does the island's hospitality sector feel about it? Chanel Suku has this report.
I think it can only be positive for the economy. Hopefully this will continue now into the future, back to the 2-week format.
That was Alan Brew, the chairman of the Manx Grand Prix Supporters Club. But are businesses on the island starting to see the effects of the extended schedule? Michael George is from the Wellback Hotel in Douglas.
Certainly do go up to 100% on quite a few of the nights. My big fear for this year was that because they only announced that it was back to the 2 weeks post last year's races. So my big fear was that we'd already let our rooms just around the weekend. And I didn't think that this year would really, I didn't think we'd see the benefit until next year. But I'm happy to say that I've been proved absolutely, totally wrong on that.
But the activities over the fortnight disrupts one business, which is used to seeing families during the summer holidays. Kathleen Graham, the manager at the Wildlife Park, says its position on the course means they don't get as many visitors during racing.
Tourists are here, are mostly here for the racing. They're not really here to visit the park. So it does negatively impact us. If you've got people, you know, for example, the cafe, they're coming by bus, they can't really get there when the roads are closed, particularly, you know, bank holiday, the roads are closed 9 till 9, basically, well, 9:30 till 9. So there's no buses. So we can't have volunteers. A lot of our volunteers come by bus. So we can't put on, you know, the full talk schedule because people have difficulty getting to us. And then, of course, if we've got staff who live on the inside, if the roads are only open for an hour, you know, you've got to try and get your shopping, pick up kids, do things like that, and then get back home. So sometimes we do have to shut earlier just so that staff can at least get out and maybe get their shopping in Ramsey before they have to get home before the roads close again. So, I mean, it isn't easy. It is a balance.
Chanel Suku with that report. Well, as you can imagine, Gary Thompson and his team are in the midst of final preparations for the MGP and Classic TT. What's more, he and other race officials have more time in an expanded 12-day schedule, which runs from the 17th to the 29th of August for both meetings after what Mr. Thompson described as hellish weather conditions in 2024, which caused major disruption. So what does he make of the new format for this year, and what other matters are still outstanding before the first flag drops? Mr. Thompson has been speaking with Manx Radio sports editor Rob Pritchard.
We are currently slightly short of marshals still for Sunday, and I would like to say to anybody locally, if you haven't signed on yet, then please do so. Yeah, we've got a natural reduction in light compared to what we have at the TT event in May. At the Manx Grand Prix Classic TT, we have to flag all at 8 o'clock during qualifying week, so we automatically lose almost an hour's worth of qualifying practice. The newcomers as well, we've got about 34-35 newcomers. We get the newcomers lap done on Sunday. It just sets us up nicely then for the rest of the week.
One thing that came up from the shorter format, sometimes it was very long days, very tiring days for the likes of not just marshals but the likes of the scrutineers, for example. How much do you hope an expanded schedule will benefit the likes of marshals and scrutineers so they don't maybe feel used and abused?
I mean, I certainly hope nobody feels used and abused, and for everybody, whether it's competitors, teams, those of us in race control, the marshals out of the course, there have been some long days, and I try to make the decisions as early as we possibly can so that people don't go standing out on point for hours waiting for the decision to be made. And equally, same with the scrutineers. We utilise the contingency sessions carefully.
Gary Thompson speaking there. Well, as we just heard this week, that marshals are urgently needed for the first day of this year's Manx Grand Prix. Laura Sawyer and Jane Corlett of the TTMA explain, there's a greater reliance on local volunteers during the August event, but that they're always flexible around the needs and availability of anyone who wants to sign up.
There's always room for more marshals, but equally we don't expect everybody to do every single session, because we do appreciate, particularly during the Manx Grand Prix when we rely very heavily on our local marshals, that means a lot of people taking time off work, using up holidays, and people have other things that they want to do with their holidays. So, you know, we appreciate anything that they can do.
I understand, particularly when it comes to the Manx Grand Prix, that the emphasis, if you like, the percentage is higher in terms of local marshals during the Manx Grand Prix than it is the TT. So how important for MGP is getting local marshals involved?
It's absolutely crucial. Both of the events, they require exactly the same minimum number of marshals to actually get going. And whereas for TT, we have far more visitors to the island, a lot more marshals come from off island. Between 25 and 30% of those marshals would be local marshals to the island. Whereas when we get to Manx Grand Prix Classic TT, then that figure is effectively doubled. It would be 50 to 60% of the marshals that we need are local marshals. We're particularly as well hoping that more of the experienced marshals will sign up. We're doing very well for novice marshals, but we have to get the dilution right. We have to have that experience around the course as well.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The chair of the Office of Fair Trading has praised the authority for taking swift action to seize hundreds of fake Labubu dolls on the island. The dolls have seen a viral sensation, making them one of the must-have toys since the seizures in Douglas in July. Similar discoveries have been made at stores in the UK. Tim Glover says he's pleased the Manx team was alert to the risk the fake dolls pose.
I do want to praise the work of the OFT over the summer, because a few weeks ago there was a release put out about the small team there, and they had seized hundreds of fake Labubu dolls. 200 toys branded as potentially dangerous were found in two stores in Douglas. They're fake, parts come away and are choking hazards. And I thought that was tremendous work at the time. I've seen these dolls and how fragile they are at the end of July when I was at the board meeting at the OFT. And it's only a couple of weeks later that this is now being widely reported as happening in the UK. So I think our team at the OFT were actually ahead of the game on this scam that was going on. And I just want to thank them for all the work that they do that goes pretty much unnoticed throughout the whole year. But that story now about these fake Labubu dolls is rife across the UK networks now in news reporting. So well done to the team.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look on the roads to begin with. In Castletown, there's temporary lights on Victoria Road near the entrance to the railway station 24 hours a day for bus stop improvement works. Meanwhile, near Foxtel, temporary lights on the shoulder road at the South Burrell Plantation for tree works, and in Douglas, temporary lights on Woodburn Road for bus stop improvement works. Of course, looking ahead to the weekend, the Manx Grand Prix gets underway on Sunday with the first qualifying session, which means the Mountain Course is due to be closing on Sunday afternoon at 12:45 lunchtime, reopening no later than 6 o'clock. We'll take a look at the steam packet. Everything is looking like it's running to time over there. We'll take a look at the airports now. On the departures board, everything's looking green, so that's all good. And on the arrivals board, similarly, all green, so everything is running to time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Keyside.
What do MHKs get up to during the summer recess? What work is there for our politicians between the July Tynwald sitting and the political season opener in October? You might be surprised at how much is being done out of the immediate political gaze, and MHK's call at Glover and Smith are keen to tell us all about it. That's Perspective this Sunday at 12 on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Grab a deck chair, don your knotted hanky and settle down to a Perspective political whippy with just the mildest sprinkle of nuts and raspberry sauce.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
16 minutes past 5 on Manx Radio's update. A major housing scheme in Union Mills has been given the green light on appeal, overturning a previous refusal by planners. Simon Richardson is with us now. First to my Simon. What has been decided here?
First to my Christian. Well, Dandara has secured approval in principle to build on land off Main Road, Trollope Lane and Strang Road. The site itself is classed in the area plan for the east as what's known as a strategic reserve site, basically meaning it's earmarked as suitable for housing if needed.
OK, so the decision by planners was refusal, but that's been overturned. Why was the appeal successful, do we know?
Well, the appeal inspector found there was a sufficiently pressing need for new homes is ultimately what it came down to. And that need outweighed other planning policy conflicts. There were concerns about traffic, the loss of agricultural land and the site's character, but those were judged to be issues that can be addressed later down the line.
OK, so does this mean that work can begin straight away?
No, not just yet. It's only approved in principle. 21 conditions also have to be met before construction can begin. These include detailed designs, environmental and drainage assessments, affordable housing and transport links.
Simon, thank you for joining us. And we have approached Dandara for comment. Nothing back yet, though. Now, you might have heard in the UK news this week about a shake-up of driving laws in England and Wales. It could see motorists over 70 banned from the roads if they fail compulsory eye tests. Plans also include reducing the drink driving limits to bring legislation in line with Scotland and introducing penalty points for passengers not wearing a seatbelt. Manx Radio has asked Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward whether we could see the island follow suit.
I'm sure that the authorities in the UK are reacting to a perceived risk and a perceived way of managing their road safety so that they can address some of those risks, and that'll be decisions they've taken based on data they have.
And in terms of that age group on the Isle of Man and road safety policy here, how does it play in? Do we correspond to the UK?
We're similarly aligned, so we do work on a sort of safer road strategy that does include an element of keeping people safe on the road, and through our licensing and our testing procedures. There is nothing that we have as a current work strand to address drivers in that category. And in fact, if we look at the data for those that are involved in road incidents on the Isle of Man, compared to the age of demographics of our population, it doesn't show that age group are at any significant risk.
But in terms of the other road users that they might pose a risk to, is there any data around that?
Yeah, there's not a lot of data. So we know that our two risk groups, if we start looking on an age basis, our two risk groups are our 16 to 20s, the young drivers who've just passed their test, and there is some active work going on around that and how do we reduce those risks. And then the other risk group is males aged 51 to 55, and they are significantly more at risk of being involved in road collisions than any other group.
Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward speaking to Lewis Foster there. Now, it's some years since Tom and Barbara Good's efforts at self-sufficiency graced the TV screens in the comedy sitcom The Good Life. A note to younger listeners, don't worry, I wasn't around for that either, so I don't know what that's about too. But decades later, the popularity of allotments and growing your own veggies is off the scale. This week was National Allotment Week, celebrating the joy of growing your own. Simon Richardson grabbed his wellies and headed out to the west of the island to find out from celebrated allotmentarian Pete Hayes the allure of veggie patches.
Well, I've always liked gardening. I had an allotment when lived across, and if you remember, about 1979, we moved into Strand Close, and I grew stuff in the garden. And you were so impressed, you came and took pictures for the press of giant sunflowers and enormous marrows.
Only so, in the hope of a few freebies, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. I've always liked it, and we got this. Linda and I got this because we'd talked about it, and it's something we could do together. And we got it just before COVID, and it was a lifesaver. There's a lot of work involved. When we first came, it had been covered up. There was lots of rubbish on it. We took sort of 2 or 3 months to do the groundwork before we did anything else.
Now, it's so popular these days, allotments. I mean, there are absolutely loads of allotments here, and it's growing all sorts of different things. Nationally, I think there's queues virtually everywhere in the UK to get hold of one, and probably similar here in the Isle of Man. We're always talking about mental health these days. I mean, how precious are they in that respect?
It's a lovely space to be. I mean, we're sat here now. It's a little overcast, but it's lovely and warm. You can come down here and potter and do a little bit of hoeing, and then sit in a chair and read a book, listen to the radio, listen to music. It just gets you away from everything.
I mean, you're a man who I've known a long time. You like your adrenaline, you like your motorbikes, your cars and everything else. And here, of course, you're swapping it for cabbages, tomatoes, parsnips, whatever. It's very different, isn't it?
It is, but there's nothing finer than watching stuff grow. And you start off with a blank canvas. I don't particularly grow stuff over the winter. I cover up the ground and operate as much as I can, a no-dig policy, because my back and everything else.
We talk a lot today about food security, don't we, as well? And, I mean, here you are. You're growing a heck of a lot of vegetables. I guess probably a quarter of it ends up on your table.
if that, we give most of it away. I've supplied the Dovecot with lettuce for a while as freebies. I get a nice cup of coffee from there. I supplied some to Scott Philby at the TT because he'd seen pictures of us.
How many hours a week do you spend here, Pete?
It depends. This week I've been down a couple of times watering because the sweet corn are very thirsty. And weed in. I've tidied up a bit because I knew you were coming.
That's Pete Hayes at his impressive allotment site speaking with Simon Richardson. Did you ever grow your vegetables? Do you grow your own vegetables? Growing up, I used to grow cress and carrots, I think, but to this day, my dad still loves growing vegetables, courgettes in particular. I remember that used to be one of my enormous frustrations in the world. Why was every dinner with a fairly large side of courgettes? First world problems, I suppose.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Let's turn our attention to sport, and after defeat midweek left them bottom of the NWCFL Premier Division, FC Isle of Man's manager hopes his team can produce a positive response when they travel to face Abbey Hay tomorrow. But Paul Jones still believes his squad may need more time to reach the levels they want, as they hope to put their 4-0 loss at Earlham on Tuesday behind them.
It's not all doom and gloom. There are some positives, and you know, we need to keep working on them and making sure that we're, you know, better game to game and focus on the next 42 games that we've got in the season. So we're just really focused on improving and getting better and realise there's a long way to go with the group that we've got.
You've maintained that you believe there's a lot more to come from this squad throughout the season, but how do you try and avoid that negative feeling setting in? Because if results aren't coming, naturally it can lower morale.
It can, but again, it comes back to perspective and it comes back to how we talk to each other in and around the club. You know, we can't affect what other people say, but we can certainly affect how we behave and act and talk about things when we're together. And I think, you know, we've got some good experiences within the group to make sure that we can stay on track. You kind of have to, you know, it there's kind of no negotiation and no wiggle room around that. So yeah, by focusing on the good stuff, by focusing on improving and developing and things that people can do to move their game forward and we can do to move our game forward, and that being the clear focus, that's the way you do it. And as I say, we unfortunately have some good experience of having to do that over the years, and no successful team has ever just rocked up and turned up and been able to do it. The advantage that some of our competitors have and most other teams in the world of football have is that when they bring new players in, they're hoping that they're going to be an upgrade on the players that they've already got. And our players that we're bringing in are capable of doing very, very well, but they're coming in with less experience than the people that are not around anymore. So that is always going to take a little bit of time.
Ravens boss Paul Jones speaking there, and tomorrow's match between Abbey Hay and FC Isle of Man will kick off at the Abbey Stadium at 3 o'clock. Let's stick with sport, and we can say fast to my to Rob Pritchard.
Fast to my Christian. Well, starting with athletics tonight, Ollie Lockley and Chris De Kane produced record-breaking performances during the penultimate round of this year's No Rest for the Wicked series last night. Lockley took overall and the men's victory during last night's Anna Maria Cotillo Foxdale 5 mile race in a time of 25 minutes and 3 seconds. That time was 19 seconds quicker than the previous course record set by Corin Leeming last year. Meanwhile, Chris De Kane was the first female finisher in a time of 28 minutes and 5 seconds, which was more than 4 minutes faster than the previous female course record set back in 2021 by Rebecca Pate. Elsewhere, completing the men's top three was Jordan Kane in 27 minutes and 29 seconds in second, and Jack Ockle in third, shortly after in 27 minutes and 33 seconds. In the women's event, Ireland Games competitor Emily Milchreist was second, recording 32 minutes and 56 seconds, whilst Frances Sill went third quickest in 33 minutes and 16 seconds. The final round of the No Rest for the Wicked series is taking place tonight at 7 p.m. in the west of the island with the Peel Trail Race. In golf, Manx pro player Anna Dawson managed a top 20 finish in her latest outing on the LET Access Series this week. The former Peel player finished joint 20th with an overall final score of 5 over par at the Ladies Slovak Golf Open. It's Dawson's 11th appearance on the Access Series so far this season, which has already included a number of strong results. They include top 5 finishes in the Superbok Ladies Open, Montauban Ladies Open and Amundi Czech Ladies Challenge. And finally, a selection of classic sidecars will be showcased on the Snaefell Mountain Course at this year's Classic TT. A classic sidecar parade lap is scheduled to take place on Wednesday, the 27th of August. Due to feature 18 machines, organisers say it's aimed at being a celebration of sidecar racing's golden era between the 1960s and 1980s. A number of past and present competitors are expected to take part, including Dave Molyneux, Greg Lambert and current TT champions Ryan and Callum Crowe. The full parade lap list is available on our website.
Gurumai, thank you very much for that, Rob. Now, earlier we heard about Pete Hayes talking about his allotments where he was swapping bikes for cabbages. Is that something we could see you doing in the near future?
See, an allotment's never something that's crossed my mind, but you never know in future.
Would you grow vegetables? Have you ever grown vegetables?
I haven't, no. No, that'd be a completely new experience.
If you were to grow a vegetable, which would it be? We were just talking off air. You said you also are not a fan of the courgette.
I'm not a fan of courgette. I'd probably go for something, you know, much simpler, like carrots or potatoes or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Courgettes are a bit of an acquired taste, apparently, it seems. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Lewis Foster. Rob is up next with Friday Sport. Chris Pearson in conversation with James Fenton after that. Chris Kilney's greatest hits from 6:30, followed by the Kane Brothers at 9. Have a good weekend. I'll be back with you on Monday. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.